Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, once hailed as a safer alternative to smoking, vaping is now under mounting scrutiny because evidence is growing of the harm it may inflict on the lungs. But for those who use vapes, could the lasting consequences of exposure to a complex cocktail of chemicals, metals and flavouring leave users more vulnerable to viruses and infection? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Dr. Keith Rochford, who's an assistant professor of biosciences based in the School of Biotechnology at Dublin City University. Keith, good morning to you.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Now, you've been studying the damage that vaping can do to the lungs. And we know that there is a problem here because we just don't have the timeline, have we, to know what the full extent of that damage might be. What have you been studying first and what have you found?
Yeah, so just to kind of give a bit of a background, my research kind of focuses on the behaviour of biological barriers in the body. So that's looking at interfaces where two biological systems meet and there's an exchange of molecules and compounds and information between the two. And there's loads of these throughout the body, but one focus of my group over the last number of years is looking at the one located in the lung known as the blood-air barrier. And this barrier is responsible for controlling the transport of oxygen from every breath we take from the lung into the underlying tissue for our body to use, but at the same time also remove waste products like carbon dioxide. So every breathing cycle is an uptake of useful resources, and it's followed swiftly by the removal of wastes. The thing about the blood-air barrier, though, is that it's very, very delicate. And my group has been focusing on looking at the factors that we encounter in everyday life that potentially impact on the performance of this barrier. Because while its main function is the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, it also plays a very prominent role in protecting us from other things that we breathe in, like pollutants, like allergens, and also microbes like bacteria and viruses. So anything that potentially compromises this barrier, it not only compromises the gaseous exchange, but it also creates opportunities for those harmful entities to exact an effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we've really focused on the last couple of years are vapes, because as you kind of pointed there, there's currently very limited data on their long-term impact on the lung. And what we found recently is, through some of our studies, is that exposure of your lung to these vapors, it basically damages the cells which comprise that blood-air barrier. And that not only compromises your uptake of oxygen and the removal of carbon dioxide, but it also leaves you more at risk to anything else which might form part of the air that you're breathing in on a daily basis.
So you might be more at risk then of the viruses that are in the air at the time, or to infection that you might have been able to withstand if you weren't vaping. Are you more vulnerable as a result of using them?
That's what we're basically seeing. So like that, like with some of the vaping aerosols, just by virtue of fact of the constituents that make them up, we've shown that they can destabilize that blood-air barrier. And in doing so, you're creating gaps or zones in your lung where microbes such as COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, it can now gain entry into, for example, the underlying blood vessels that are adjacent to our lung. And then once that virus is able to get bypass that barrier and get into our vessels, that's when an infection cycle can start to be initiated. So like that, it infects the nearby cells and it can in turn destabilize those tissues in the area and then the systems that they're part of. And one thing that we've really noticed in particular is that we've shown that vaping increases the expression of a receptor that's known as ACE2 in our lung vasculature. So like ACE2 is a receptor that's heavily involved in aspects of our vasculature health and normal. So it's regulating blood pressure and other things. But one of the key things in relation to, say, COVID-19 is that it acts as one of the primary docking sites for the SARS-CoV-2 virus to actually bind to us. So if you think about it, vaping isn't just opening up the door to the virus by destabilizing that blood-air barrier, but it's basically setting the table for it to then infect our cells. It's making it easier for these viral particles to latch onto our tissues, propagate an infection. And that in turn is naturally going to increase the degree of severity that a bout of COVID-19 might mm-hmm. have on an individual.
So, Keith, if you look at somebody who is 15 or 16 and starting to vape, I mean, what might their lung health look like in their 40s or 50s? Or can you say at this point?
Well, I think one thing to point out is that from early adulthood, so from our 20s onwards, our lungs are naturally slowly in decline. So you have to consider the amount of movement and mechanical movement our lungs perform over the course of our lifetime. It's almost like looking at an elastic band. There's only so many times you can stretch it before it starts to get weaker and weaker. So from 20 onwards, just naturally, our lungs start to slowly drop in performance, just courtesy of this daily wear and tear that we put it through. So now factor in things that we expose our lungs to on a daily basis. So, for example, if you're living in a heavily polluted area where every single breath you take brings your lung tissues into contact with something that causes them stress, that's going to exacerbate that wear and tear. And you're going to see that natural decline in lung function accelerate. It's going to become more rapid. So now imagine if you were to just swap out that analogy of air pollution, but now swap it out with vaping. Mm-hmm. So every time you're filling your lungs with that aerosol, you're giving your lung tissue more work to do. You're imparting more stress on the tissues to have to deal with. And most likely, unbeknownst to an individual, you're adding to the decline of your lung performance in that moment. But over time, with chronic exposure, it's probably going to accelerate the decline of that. So like that, there are case studies out there where we're starting to see some of these longitudinal effects. Mm-hmm. But they are limited at this moment. And I think we're going to see more and more of them as time goes on.
As time goes on, indeed. Keith, thank you very much. It's really interesting to speak to you. Keith Rochford there from DCU.